Joining us now to talk about the new movie Paper Spiders, starring Lily Taylor, are the directors and writers of this film, Natalie and Enone Champagnier. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us, Sean.
This is so poignant and timely. This morning, I normally cover news. I'm a film critic full-time as well, but I cover news, and this morning I got a call from somebody who said that their neighbor was in their lawn, was on the lawn, yelling that their other neighbor was spying on them, and that they wanted the police called. And it just chilled me, because I watched your movie last night, and watching the way that Lily Taylor portrays just that very specific moment it's so resonant, and it hit me so hard. First of all, talk about your inspiration for this film.
Well, it's inspired by experiences I went through with my mom, who was suffering from delusional disorder, and there's different types. So it was the paranoid persecutory type. And it's just that it's believing that you're spied on, and, you know, believing that someone's, you know, out to get you. And it's really tricky, because, I mean, my mom, she passed away 4 years ago, but she was an amazing, caring, loving woman. And normal in every other aspect. You could have conversations with her. You could never guess unless you broach the subject of this neighbor. And then it just went off the rails from there. But it's one of those disorders that start deteriorating gradually, but it does deteriorate. And there's kind of nothing you can do at the time, because there's no awareness there that they have it, a disorder. So, you try to, you know, help them, but it's very difficult. And I kind of feel like there's not a lot out there, like, you know, in terms of what you can do, like resources and things. So I think it's important. Like, if I had seen this movie when I was going through it, I often wonder, like, maybe there's more things I could have done to help, but, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking that even by talking about it, one is able to maybe find more resources or hear from other people who are going through similar experiences. And there's something therapeutic about opening up and talking about it. And because there's so much shame that is unnecessarily attached to mental illness, a lot of people don't really discuss those things. And as a result, they sometimes don't have the resources to seek help. And it's especially hard with paranoia. I think that with some other forms of mental illness or mental health issues, people who are depressed or aware they are depressed, people who have anxiety are aware of that. People who are paranoid believe that this is reality. And it's heartbreaking that they're living in a false reality of persecution, and they're living in a nightmare that they can't be woken up from. And you can't confront it. You can't tell them, listen, you have mental illness. That usually only aggravates it and creates an explosion. So it's very, very difficult. But even beyond the more narrow scope of paranoia, it was important for us to tell a story about the more general experience that many people have of what do you do when there's someone that you love and you're trying to help, sometimes even save, and the problems are just beyond your control. Mm-hmm. But then again, we also wanted to have some lightness and levity to it, and not just tell a story that is dark. So it also begins as a more comedic and lighthearted mother-daughter coming-of-age story. But then gradually, as the mental health situation deteriorates, the movie tonally shifts more toward the drama.
To the point you're both making about the resources or the lack of resources that people have here, just kind of stealing a buzz phrase, if you will, people are going to see this, and I think they're going to feel seen. I think that people who've been through this for once will feel like somebody has been where they are. And that's one of the things that your main character, the daughter, struggles with throughout, is she's alone in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems so rare. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, people are ashamed of this, and they're secretive because they think that, like, this is such a strange thing that I know somebody who's going through or suffering from myself. And it's actually much more common than people would guess. And I even feel like this pandemic is probably going to bring out a lot of things, a lot of paranoia, just a lot of underlying disorders that we haven't even seen yet, but we will. So I really hope, you know, what you're saying. I mean, I really hope that people can take away that they're not alone in this, and they do feel heard and seen.
And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we really do hope that the beyond entertaining the movie will also help bring awareness to not just paranoia, but in general, the need to support people who are going through mental health crises, which definitely were aggravated by a year of lockdown.
Absolutely, unquestionably, and certainly that aspect of it almost just plays in the background for me in terms of this movie, and is kind of a glass-shattering moment for me just thinking about that, how perfect that is. But the performances in this film are so sensational, and I mean, I got to ask you about Lily Taylor. I mean, she gets to the heart of this so beautifully.
She really does. We're so lucky to work with her, with all of our cast, but Lily and Stefania especially created such a beautiful relationship on screen and also off screen. And then when it deteriorates, it's just heartbreaking to see, because you feel the love that's between a mother and a daughter, and how it's threatened by mental illness. But we've been wanting to work with Lily Taylor for a long time. I remember we wrote different scripts and said, oh, maybe this is a role for Lily Taylor, maybe this one is. And when we wrote this one, she seemed so perfect for a role, and she has such a great ability to just dial it up to 100, which not many actors do.
And she also found a place that she related to it, and like all the actors, they just found that spot that shows that they're not faking it and it's real. Like every take was like amazing and real and not acting and didn't feel fake.
Yeah, it was incredible. And to watch her go all the way into that place of a psychotic breakdown was both, you know, very impressive from an acting point of view, but also felt so real. I remember that during the police scene in the movie, I remember, you know, we'd finish a take and I'd look back and I'd see crew members just crying, because there was something that just felt so real about that moment. And there was a lot of truth that was brought into this fiction of the movie.
I couldn't hold back during that scene. It was harrowing. It was hard to watch, but also incredibly valuable, though. And I don't want to give people a wrong impression of this movie, because it is incredibly watchable. The way you establish these two characters early on, it's very strong. They've got a wonderful chemistry, Stefania and Lily. How long did they get the chance to spend time together?
It's funny. They didn't know each other before, so we couldn't predict how excellent they'll be together. And then at some point, Lily lives in New York. Stefania, at the time, was splitting her time between New Zealand and New York. And then she flew into New York, and I was still in LA. And I told her, you know, you and Lily are both in New York. You can meet. And I think they grabbed coffee together, and instantly they hit it off. And they just developed a relationship that you can't fake. There was real intimacy there. So and I feel like every day together in pre-production, even in rehearsals, and on set, and even by going through the scenes, it really created and solidified that mother-daughter bond.
I think visually too, early on, the way you frame them early, that they're almost shoulder to shoulder, hip to hip, and then of course as the movie goes on, they're pulled apart, and that visual element is such an important aspect of this. And I thought you captured that brilliantly.
Thank you so much, and thank you for noticing it. It was actually part of our visual strategy. We really wanted at the beginning for them to be, I mean, not only so enmeshed, but, you know, they're covered in two shots, and you constantly see them together, and you feel the togetherness. They're eating together, they're walking together, they're sitting on the airplane together. And then when they're torn apart, you really, you know, that separation becomes visually very, very visible.
Which makes her the trigger of Stefania leaving all the more powerful, because they are so enmeshed.
Yeah.
Thanks for using a psychology term.
Yeah. and then you even see moments like, you know, there's the moments when they're lying in bed together, and Stefania is holding Lily. And then later, after, you know, Lily leaves, you see Stefania lying in bed, the same position, almost from the same angle, you know, same shot, but she's alone. And you feel that emptiness that is suddenly created by a daughter essentially losing her mother.
Which is also why we chose that have the dad, it sounds mean, but to have the dad out of the picture, because it's like, it's her only, it's a person she relies on most, and it only increases their bond and reliance on each other.
But it also, it increases our worry as an audience, as we're watching this, like, without mom, what does she have? Who is the support system? And there isn't one.
Yeah, there's no safety net.
Yeah.
And she has to become the parent, which is perhaps the most profound coming of age experience, when suddenly you turn, not only turning, they often talk about coming of age, you know, et cetera, experience that a teenager goes through, especially in those movies, you know, first love, et cetera, that's all coming of age. But needing to turn from a child to an adult and take care of your parent, who until now was parenting you, that is perhaps the most profound coming of age experience that a child goes through.
I might come off as just overly praising here because I'm not intending it, but I just really enjoyed the movie. And to your point, when you're talking about that, she doesn't feel like she's a grown-up. She feels like a kid who doesn't have any ideas, because normally in a movie like this, suddenly the daughter involved develops all these skills that they never had before or that a normal kid wouldn't have. That's not Stefania. She's completely unprepared for this.
Yes,
that was the advantage of having somebody who looks innocent and is real, actually the age that is they're supposed to be in the script,
and evokes so much empathy, which is interesting. It's a different quality that is not often discussed about actors. You have a lot of great actors who, for whatever reason, don't evoke as much empathy. You watch them, and many of them are fantastic, but you don't necessarily care as much about their characters. And some actors, beyond their talent and their craft, are able to evoke so much empathy. And we both saw that in Stefania when her audition came in. And I think she was in New York at the time. We were in LA, so we didn't get to, or maybe she was in New Zealand. We didn't get to watch her in person. We watched the tape. And both of us instantly, I think even separate, I think we were in different rooms when it came in, we watched it on different computers. And we both instantly felt like we found the one. And instantly ran off and we have our Melanie, because there's just some quality to that evoked so much empathy and just felt so real and captivating. So we're very, very fortunate to work with actors that really put their hearts and souls into the movie.
I can say that too about the supporting cast you chose was also very smart. Especially, I thought Tom Papa was perfectly cast as just this sweet man who has no idea what he's gotten himself into.
Yeah, we just saw Tom yesterday. We were telling him how wonderful he was in the movie. First of all, it's our favorite comedian, and it's always it's such a pleasure when you're writing a role and you're like, I want my favorite comedian to be in that movie, and you know, and they show up on set. Yeah, but also having that humor and having that, I think that those scenes with Tom where you see different narratives, you know what's going on in his head, and you know what's going on in her head. And you know that the two of them have very different ideas of what's going on, and that at some point, you know, there's going to be a clash. And that provides comedy as well as tension. Tension, because you know that it's going to explode. So those scenes were a lot of fun to shoot.
And then Max Casella, I thought, he's wonderfully employed here. Just he's kind of shady, he's kind of funny, and then there's a moment where he just does something so human and so sweet. I couldn't resist it.
Thank you. Yeah, Max was also such a pleasure to work with. And strangely, it was a very hard role to cast, because we're trying to find an actor who, you know, would be believable as that, you know, small town, you know, private investigator who is kind of comical and kind of inept and comes off as a little bit shady, but then has a transformation. And then you actually really relate to someone with a heart and you believe the story that they have. And Max was, of course, perfect for that. We're so grateful when he came on board. So we also really enjoyed the scene with Max.
Yeah.
Well, tell what else? What's and for you the reason? Both for each of you, what made you want to tell this story? Obviously, it's very personal for you, Natalie. It's very personal for you as well, you know. But was there something else that really made you want to tell this story?
I think that as writers, we just end up processing whatever we really care about into scripts. Mm-hmm. Very often they don't even get made. So very often we don't even have to worry about it.
Forget getting made. Like a lot of scripts die after page one because you just don't care. You know, it has to come from the heart. You have to be passionate about it. To finish, you know, 100 pages and then 2 years of your life to make it happen. You have to really care about it. And I think that like the story, the personal stories and the ones that, or even the ones that you can find a grain of truth in, you know, or that you have a passion for, are the ones that survive.
Yeah.
Well, tell people when they can see the movie.
Well, the movie's coming out on May 7th in select theaters and on demand. So it will be available to stream, download pretty much everywhere, Amazon, iTunes, and in some theaters people can go online. We'll also post on the website of Paper Spiders, the movie. Paperspiders.com and on social media when the movie will screen different states, but everyone in the US will be able to watch it online. You can just go to Amazon or iTunes or any other place where you can watch movies, and the film will be there.
All right. Well, then, you've certainly got a champion in me. I'm going to be telling everybody about this movie because it is incredibly moving. Thank you. Inon and Natalie, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for Paper Spiders.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.